turn now to Luke chapter 2. We considered Luke 2, 1 through 7 last Sunday evening, and I'll mention something about that in a moment. But before I actually read 8 to 14, I want to share a few verses from Isaiah, and then I'll read today's passage. And in a sense, think about this. Isaiah wrote this about 600 years before the coming of Christ, but listen to some of these words. I'm going to read first from Isaiah 40, and then 52, and then 61. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold, your God. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim, to comfort. In those days in which when an emperor had conquered, he would send forth a herald to spread the good news that the war had been won. So today we pick up now in Luke 2. Last time we considered how God orchestrated from all eternity the fullness of time, and he called forth that through the emperor, that time of taxation, and then Mary and Joseph, and the babe within her was born, and showing his humility, there was no place in the inn. He was laid in a manger. But we continue. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes now and open our ears to behold and to hear the wondrous things in your law, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you heard those verses being fulfilled in the reading of just these few verses, those verses from Isaiah, them for those with some knowledge of the Scripture, which many of them would have. Here they were. It was happening. Good news is being proclaimed. This good news began all the way back in Genesis 3:15, when God promised a child, a redeemer, from the seed of the woman. And that time, the time came to pass. The time was fulfilled. The fullness of time had come. God's own son was to be born, but there was no party planned for him. No one had planned a party. The birthday party for this king. I just heard this week in a sermon, this was the first king that didn't have to be a prince first. He was born a king. And yet there was no party prepared, so God planned his own party. And he invited, of all people, shepherds to his party. So, as we think about the messengers, I want you to also think about those who received the message, who then would become messengers. What is the gospel? What is this good news? Well, first let's ask, who delivered this good news? It was brought by a heavenly messenger. In the same regions there were shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Can we let our imaginations go up to heaven for a moment and think about, imagine God says, what might this angel's name be? How about Johnny? Johnny, get Troop 77. Gather, I got something to tell you. All right, Johnny, it's time. He's been born, and you're going to go tell. It'd be a pretty amazing. Here he comes, this angel. I mean, all he does every day is the work of the God who made him. And now he's the one. And so he says, let's go. He goes. Now, maybe he was even surprised that God sent him. You know, the gospel is something we're told by Peter. Angels long to look into these things. So he goes. We'll call him Johnny. Angel Johnny. And he appears first, and he has a message. A message. A message that he took. Before I get to the message, let me say who he took it to. He took it to shepherds. I know y'all have heard this before. Shepherds were just ordinary men. A lot of the locals often, at that time, the locals thought of them as thieves and liars. Their witness wasn't even able to be received in a court of law, and yet you're going to see God makes them his first witnesses. They were, because of their work, they were unclean and unable to go you know, immediately into the precincts of worship in the temple. But just like the son whom they were going to go tell about, they just wandered in the evenings with their sheep, doing their business. They were just working class sinners like you and me, who knew their need. Unto you, the shepherds, the angel brings the good news. And so the first to receive the good news were regular folks like us, brought to them by angelic beings, the heavenly host. An angel appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Well, that would be fearful, wouldn't it? You're out on a dark night with your sheep, and the brightness, and then this angel. And this angel has good news for them. So notice the message. Verses 11 and 12. What is this message? The angel said to them, fear not. So first of all, just like God always does, first thing he does is he said, don't be afraid. It's okay. Don't fear. This seems crazy to you, but don't fear, because I have a message for you. Behold, listen up. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Y'all, the gospel, it is not good advice. It's not a step-by-step list of things to do to try to be a better person and live a good life. And that's not what it is. It's not good advice about how to live. Now, it comes with everything you need to know about how to live. How to live joyfully and with peace and with success in the world and in life. And no matter what happens to you, no matter what circumstance you're in, but it's not good advice. It's good news. And of all things, it's good news about a person. A person who was born at a certain time in history when the fullness of time has come. It's good news. It's not all right. The angel didn't say, all right, everybody, get cleaned up and start living right. That wasn't the good news that night. It was a message about a person and about the joy that this person would bring. Do not fear, joy has come, and this joy has come in flesh and blood in a person. Now this angel, it's a short little message, but there's a lot built into it, kind of embedded in it. Unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior, a Messiah, an anointed one who is Christ, Christ the anointed one, the Lord. So he's the son of David. The promises are coming true from the Old Testament. They're coming true. He's a Savior. That means he's a rescuer. He's a deliverer. This babe that's been born, he's a Savior, capital S. He is the one who will save you from your sins, deliver you from destruction, deliver you ultimately by faith in him from hell, from being outside of the joy of God for eternity. He's a Savior, a rescuer, a deliverer. He's also the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah. Y'all, Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Okay? It's his title. Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Yeshua, Christos, Christ, the anointed one. And they would have understood this language from the anointing of kings, the anointing of priests, and the speaking of prophets in the Old Testament. He's also the Lord. I mean, look at that. Savior, Christ, Lord. There it is. The ruler, the power, the sovereignty, the deity. He's the Lord. He's the one who's more powerful than Caesar Augustus. More powerful than King Herod. So this isn't the birth of an emperor. Okay, the birth of an emperor is one that comes from, you know, an emperor gives birth to his son and then he passes down the earthly rule to him. No, this is the birth of the son of the, not the emperor, the creator of all things, visible and invisible. This is the birth of deity. He's fully God and he's fully man. I'm not going to go into all that today, but I'll say he's fully God and fully man. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she became, as a virgin, became pregnant with the Son of God. He's deity. He's God and man in one person. And so the angel says, listen, what I'm telling you, he has come. Now, a brief application here that goes back to those verses from Isaiah I read a little while ago. How do we know about this? How did the shepherds know about this? They needed someone to tell them. They needed a herald of good news. The angels were the first herald. Now they're telling it to the shepherds. Brothers and sisters, we need the preaching of the gospel. How do we know unless we're told? In our study of Romans, later this next year, we'll get to that, where this is actually where Paul brings this up in Romans 10, that how will they know unless there's someone sent to tell them? Well, the angels came to the shepherds and told them. Now, tomorrow, very briefly, I'm going to discuss what the shepherds do with this good news. We're going to hear what they do with it. But we need preachers, we need teachers, we need missionaries, we need evangelists. In this case, one was sent from heaven to tell the shepherds. We hear good news when it's preached, when it's taught, when we read our Bibles, when we tell it to one another. And that's what God has called us to do, just like he did with the shepherds. And so that the shepherd will understand that this is true, he says, there'll be a sign for you. There'll be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This is going to be a sign. This is going to be something that will confirm for you that what we are saying is true. Now, it's kind of an unexpected sign. They've said, who is born for you in the city of David? Again, taking us back to the Davidic dynasty. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And here's the sign for you, for this deity, this king, this Lord, this sovereign, you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. A manger, friends, as you know, was a feeding trough. That was the cradle they had there in the cave or the stable there. And they say, okay, angel. Well, and so they're given a sign. You know, we're given two signs for us to confirm our faith, to let us know that what God says is true, the sign of baptism and the sign and seal of the Lord's Supper as we come to the table, as we did this past Sunday evening. These are very simple things. The pouring of water over our heads. And then some of our friends dip all the way into the water and back out. And then the sign of simply the bread and the cup. Tasting bread and drinking from the cup. Simple things to confirm for us our faith. So it was with the shepherd. He gave a simple sign. Go, and when you find this, you'll see that what we're saying is true. That the Savior has come. The Christ. The Lord. But before they can do anything else, suddenly we've had our messengers, our message. Now we have in a sense, the mission in some ways is embedded in what we're going to hear. And then we're going to see the mission pick up a little more for those who come back tomorrow. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Now that the one angel turns into a multitude. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Well, this good news inspires the angels to sing, just like we have been doing already in this service today, and as we do each week, and these past weeks we've been singing our Christmas hymns and carols. Well, what is this lyric? An angelic lyric. It's basically in two main parts. Glory to God in the highest. God's weightiness, God's worth, the sum of all God's amazing attributes, all of who God is, glory. All that we can imagine. Glory toward God. Glory to God in the highest. Everything here is about Him, is to Him and for Him and through Him. Glory to God. It starts with God. What is the chief end of man? As question number one in the catechism, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So here it is, sung by an angel. But then it turns from God to men and women. And on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Again, you've already heard, you know the story that the King James, the authorized version as it's called in England, the King James version as we call it here, said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. We know that a little more accurate translation is it's a little more specific than just goodwill to all men. It's on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. The separation starts even in this good news from the angels. There's those who will receive this child, there's those who will reject Him. For all those that receive Him, peace. That is total well-being. Not just the absence of hostility, but total well-being through God, through His Son, and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Making things right like they ought to be. On earth, making things right as they ought to be with those with whom He is pleased, with those whom receive God's favor, who turn. This is peace, true peace. At this time in history, there was the Pax Romana, a kind of a peace that allowed folks to kind of travel as Joseph and Mary did. A general peace, you could travel these roads that the Romans had made more possible. But that was a temporary peace. It's a peace that would come and go, but this is shalom. Peace. Prosperity and welfare. Listen to what a Stoic philosopher and a contemporary of Luke who wrote this gospel, listen to what Epictetus, what he wrote. He said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace." Oh, he's so close, isn't he? He knows what he needs. I need inward peace. Maybe an emperor can give temporary outward peace, but I need inward peace. And so God has sent his Son to bring that inward peace, the reconciliation with God and with one another. Y'all, those of us that need to be reconciled to one another, it can only happen through our submitting to God and coming under the power of his Spirit and the rule of his peace, which does make demands on us. This isn't a sentimental, secular peace. I have not seen the old commercial this year. "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony," the Coca-Cola tree. That might be sentimental for me, born in 1971, but that's not true peace. Because this world, even at singing in its trying to sing its perfect harmony, is in rebellion against God. Now, this is a peace for those who acknowledge that true peace only comes after I give up my own efforts, I give up my own control. I say, "Okay, Lord, I'm yours." I give up my feeble efforts at gaining peace, and I cast my cares upon that one who was born a babe in a manger. Listen to this. I didn't make a note of who it was, but there's a missionary who translated Luke 2:14, what the angels said. So imagine, and here I'll just start and then I'll pick up his translation. "So suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'God in heaven is just so good. So the people who live in this world, if God's heart is happy with them, then their fear is all gone now.'" That's the good news. God in heaven is just so good. The people who live in this world, if God's heart is happy with them, then their fear is all gone now. And so, friends, is God's heart happy with you today? If you've called on his Son, that babe born in a manger but who didn't stay in a manger, who grew up, who fulfilled the law, who lived a perfect life, though tempted as we are, yet without sinning, have you received this baby's life as your life? If you've received his life as your life, then he is happy with you. Then there is hope for you. The one wrapped in swaddling cloths is the one wrapped in grave clothes on Good Friday. Do you realize the one placed in the feeding box was also placed in a tomb? And his resurrection, for those with faith to receive it, is your resurrection. He's Lord of all. If you believe this, then today your fear can be all gone too now. And God is happy with you in Christ. Believe it and fear not. It's not just Christmas sentimentality. It's the truth. It's the good news. And your life and my life depend on it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the messengers, the angel, and the shepherds of whom this first message was given. We thank you for the message, good news about a person who, through the power of the Spirit, makes us new creations in Christ Jesus, the old gone and passed away and the new having come. And so, Lord, put us on this mission. We know you've called us, just like you did the shepherds, to tell this good news. Thank you for the good news of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.